Welcome, everyone. Good to see you. How are you guys doing tonight? You good? All right. Wonderful. So, I was at a party once. We'll start that way. I was at a party once, and I get to see interesting things a lot of the times. And I'm sitting with somebody, and there's some paraphernalia going on, okay? So the guy looks at me and says, you know, what would you be open one time to trying some of what we're doing here? And I'm listening, and I said, why do you think I should do what you're doing? He's like, I know you're a spiritual person, and I know you believe in the light, and I'm telling you, you can taste the light through these drugs. It's a true story. So, and he said, what's the difference? If everything comes from the light, and through doing something like this, you can have a bigger, better connection. You can see and experience the Creator and that joy. What's the big deal? So, you know, there's many ways of approaching that. You know, and I told him in kind of like, I try to think of a way of saying it, maybe an analogy. I said, I prefer to be invited to the party versus inviting myself to the party. Does that make sense? What does that mean? It means that I believe, without a shadow of a doubt, and not just because I believe it, but through experience, that the Kabbalists say there are two realities. There's a reality, we haven't talked much about it, but there's a reality called the 99%, and there's a reality called the 1%. The 99% is also known as the tree of life. The 1% biblically is known as the tree of knowledge, good and evil, or good and bad, however you want to say it, but it's also known as the tree of death. There are only two realities which we can choose to live in. By default, which reality do you think we're born into? By default, tree of death. The reality where death is prevailing. The reality where you don't feel, experience, or taste the light of the Creator. That is the reality we were born into because of the bread of shame, because of our soul's purpose to transform itself and connect again with the tree of life. Our only choice in life is to connect with the tree of life. Now, what Satan's game is he wants us to invite ourselves to cheat the system, to look for the instant gratification, which is the tree of life, but it's temporary. The world is filled with temporary solution to the tree of life or permanent solution. When you crash a party or you invite yourself to someone's house over and over again, and you haven't actually been invited by the host, eventually you're never allowed to come. And that's what happens when people take energy, that is powerful energy, without spiritually earning that energy. I mean, there are things we do once in a while because we need help and we need support. I understand that is perfectly fine. There's a place for that. But when a person's only connection to the tree of life is through temporary reactive means, eventually he won't be allowed ever into the tree of life. The tree of death is not death like we think. How many of us here are really afraid of death? Raise your hand. Are you afraid of death? Truth is, none of us are afraid of death. That's the truth, and I'll prove it to you. You want to know what you're afraid of? What do you think you're afraid of? The pain of dying. You're not afraid of the pain of dying. Some of us are more afraid to go to prison than we are of dying. We, the capitalists, say there's only one fear we all have. It's the fear of not having pleasure. That's our fear. No, it manifests in many ways. We are scared. Why are we scared of being alone? Because we're scared of not having pleasure. Why are we scared of not having money? Because we're scared of having pleasure. Why are we scared when people control us? Because we're scared of not having pleasure. We want pleasure because that's what we were created to receive pleasure. So when there's a thought that I may not have pleasure, I get scared. When there's a sign, an inkling, when I see two people talking and I think they're talking about me and I get angry, scared, afraid, nervous, anxious, because I think that those two people will do something that will make me not have. That's it. Everything comes down to that. We are reactive when we're afraid we're not going to have pleasure. People aren't actually afraid of death. Kabbalistically, death is part of a process that the soul needs to create continuity, to fulfill its purpose. And we're going to speak about death today. We're going to speak about reincarnation. We're going to speak about the unseen world, the unseen forces, the unseen spirits. And it's not spooky, mystical, it's practical. We deal with energies that we don't see all day long, and it fits into the paradigm of everything we've learned so far. What is death? How does a person connect with death? Death is, by the code name in Kabbalah, desire to receive for the self alone, i.e., reactive behavior, selfish behavior. Every time I do something selfish, it's not that it's good or bad. I connect to the tree of death and a piece of me dies. Every time I speak evil speech about somebody else, I spread a rumor, I see the bad in someone else, I judge someone else, I think I'm better than somebody else. It's not about good or bad. It's about that's a choice to connect with death. What is death? Death is the loss of a business, death of a relationship, death of peace of mind. It's the loss of certainty. It's the loss of joy. How is it that a person can have so much but not have joy? Because they made so many decisions that their soul plugged into the tree of knowledge, the tree of death. So even though they should be happy, they don't feel happy. Life is about what kind of choices we make every moment. And there are only two choices. There aren't 1,000 choices. We think there are 1,000 choices. Somebody spoke to me today and they said, how do I know what I'm doing is right or wrong in this certain situation? Gave her some advice before, and now she's asking again, how do I know that the way I'm treating my partner is right or wrong? Maybe I'm being too hard, maybe I'm not hard enough, whatever. I asked her a question. I said, what is your intention behind what you're doing? Are you trying to hurt her? No. Why are you doing what you're doing? Because I truly believe that's the way to bring us closer. If that's your intention, if that's in your consciousness, then you are connecting to the tree of life. But what if I'm doing it all wrong? It doesn't matter if you're doing it wrong. If at the seed level intention, your desire is love, unity, that's really where you're coming from. You're really coming from the win-win. You're really coming from the mercy. You're connected to the tree of life. And even if you do the wrong thing, the light will guide you back. But many times people do things that appear correct. You know, they appear. I want to look like I'm spiritual. I want to look like I'm working hard. I want to look like I'm a good guy. I want to be charismatic in front of her parents. I want to appear, but internally, there's a lot of agenda, selfishness, insecurity, ego, neediness. So whatever this person does, even though it looks good, it's connected to the tree of death. and eventually they experience death. So what is death? What is one reason why people leave this world? We're going to learn many reasons. One reason why a soul leaves this world is because of the accumulation of instances where they chose death over life. Connecting to the light means connecting to life. And if we as Kabbalah students always choose the light, I can promise you, you will feel all the time what that guy at the party wanted me to feel for 20 minutes. He was proud of his 20 minutes. He waited all week for his 20 minutes. All week. He worked hard. He saved up his money. He bought his drugs for his 20 minutes. And maybe he could make it 40 minutes, maybe 2 hours on a good night. And I'm telling him, why are you thinking so small? Listen, I said to him, I said, if you had a drug that made me high all week and I never came down, I would quit Kabbalah now. I would abandon all spiritual work and I would become partners with you in always taking this drug all the time. But you're offering me something small, 20 minutes? What do I want with 20 minutes? And then the chaos afterwards? And it's going to cost me money? You know what's free? Giving is free. You know what's free? Humility is free. You know what's free? Not thinking you're better than other people. You know what's free? Overcoming your fears. You know what's free? Waking up in the morning when you don't want to. You know what's free? Calling the client you don't want to call first. You know what's free? Exercising. It's all free. Now, you want me to pay for small pleasures? I'm not interested in small pleasures. And by the way, every time we engage in small pleasures and we borrow the light, you're borrowing and there's interest. And if we don't use that to be more spiritual, we're going to have a debt to pay later. So yes, once in a while, it's okay to engage. I'm not saying it's okay to engage in drugs, but I'm saying once in a while, we all need a break, right? A little instant gratification. And if you're going to go down that route, fine. But always with the intention of connecting back to the tree of life. Do not make it a lifestyle to crash the party of instant gratification. Do not make it part of the way you live life, because you will be disappointed. You will experience death eventually. Our goal is to never experience death. Whenever I'm bored or uninspired or anxious, I'm experiencing the energy of death from a seed I planted a while back. So what I would like us to do right now is let's do a quick meditation. So let's sit comfortably. And this actually just came to me now. I did not plan to do this. So let's see where we're going to go. I want you to close your eyes. We're going to do a meditation. I don't know where we're going to go exactly yet, but let's see. First thing I want you to do is I want you to ask the Creator. If you have a hard time asking the Creator, ask your soul, because the Creator is connected to your soul. So sometimes we have an easier time asking our soul. Ask for a message tonight. Tonight we're going to delve into deeper wisdom, into world beyond our physical world. And there are a lot of souls that can help us on this journey. Ask a question to the Creator, to your soul. Ask a question that you need an answer to. Ask for support or assistance in an area that you need help. Ask that through tonight's class, you receive the energy you're looking for, the strength you're looking for, the blessings you're looking for, guidance that you're looking for. Very important that you always, always ask for it. Now, I want you to think of someone. It can be someone you know, someone you're close to, or someone not at all, who's passed away. Whoever comes to your mind, there's a reason. It could be one person, it could be many people. What do you see? This is just between you and them. What do you see? What do you hear? What do you feel? Why did this person come to your mind right now? What kind of a role did this person play in your life? What did they show you about your tikkun or you about theirs? What's the purpose of this person? If this person has come to your mind, it probably means one of a couple things. One, they need you for something. Two, you need them for something. Three, you have an unresolved tikkun with them. Something that you still are holding on to, something you have not changed, something you're still upset about, something you still resent. If you're having a hard time with this, fight it. Go through it. Don't give up. Penetrate through the wall. Very powerful. We have the ability to access any information we want if we really just connect with the right intention. Throughout our courses, we've talked about how to deal with the tikkun of the living. What about the tikkun of those who have passed? Ask questions. Ask yourself questions. Try to get as much information as you can before we break this connection. Also, the fact that we're all doing it together reveals an energy, a very powerful energy. It's like we're all accessing the upper worlds at the same time. I will do the meditation with you. All right, I'm going to ask you guys to open your eyes. I did the meditation for about 7 seconds. I saw my grandmother come, who passed away this year. And it's interesting. It's interesting and painful. She asked me why I didn't spend more time with her. She came to me right now. Didn't even think about her before tonight's class. She asked me why I didn't spend more time with her since I came back to Los Angeles. Because I was here for a couple months before she passed away. That was the message I got. I want to know what's the message you got. So please, at your tables, if your tables are big, maybe you want to do it in smaller groups. If you feel you'd rather do it as an entire table, share what you got. If you didn't get anything, it's totally fine. Go to the next person. All right? Please, go for it. All right, everyone. Anybody would like to share a powerful vision or message? Powerful vision or message? Who would like to share? Anyone? If you don't have, it's okay. This is another muscle that we want to develop, to receive support and assistance from people who are beyond the limitations of the physical body. Everything's possible. So, anybody? Nye? Just introduce yourself for everybody.
Hello, my name's Nye. So, during the meditation, the first person I saw was my grandfather on my father's side, and whose name was Alex, and I loved that man. I thought he was from New Zealand, like my father, originally from Scotland, very, very sort of, you know, English in that sort of way, you know, and he passed away I'm not sure, a long time ago, but I often see him in meditation. I don't, you know, thank God I don't have a lot of people in my life who have passed on yet. So often when meditation, and we think about these sort of things, that's who comes up. But after I saw him and I thought, oh, that's nice, shortly afterwards saw my grandfather on my mother's side, who passed away maybe almost 2 years ago now. And he sort of like pushed my first grandfather out of the way and became the central, I don't know, thing I saw in the vision. And my relationship with my grandfather on my mother's side was not good. He was a very difficult man, very negative man, and my entire side of the family's relationship with him was very bad and ended on bad terms. And so I was like, well, why am I seeing you? What's this about? And so...
What was the message you got?
Well, something that came to mind was that there was a disconnect from him, and my family moved away from him after we had moved to be closer to him, and so we moved away. And there was a fight, and there was a break, and I basically never spoke to him again. Not up until like right before he died. And so, but I often thought, you know, he is my grandfather. For everything he said and done to my mother, to us, he is my grandfather. Maybe I should give him a call. And I never did. And that did come to mind.
What's his name?
Earl.
Earl. When did he die?
Probably a year and a half ago. Maybe 2 years ago.
Yeah. What month did he die?
Ooh, that's a good question.
You remember?
No, I don't.
What it could be also, when someone close to us comes to us like that, if they did something negative in this life, they need either their children or their children's children to do spiritual work to elevate their soul. There was a story once, and this will be practical for some people either now or in the future. There's a story once of a Kabbalist who was walking, and he started to hear this very painful cry coming from somewhere. And the Kabbalists on those high levels from thousands of years ago, they weren't just of the physical world. They could hear not just the physical, but the spiritual as well. So he heard this cry coming from the spiritual worlds. So he goes and he sits by a tree, and there's a cave, and he hears the cry coming from the cave. But it wasn't really a cave. It was really an entrance to another world. And what he senses is that he's hearing a soul that's trapped in hell. Now, we're going to talk about what hell and heaven really mean. Doesn't mean what it sounds like. It's a process that the soul goes through of cleansing. And this soul has been trapped in hell, and he's crying, and he's screaming, and he's saying, so the Kabbalists ask him, what's going on? And he says, I'm being tortured in ways you can't imagine. And it's not torture like we think. It's the torture of the soul, the agony of the soul. And he said, all the hours of the day, my soul is being tortured. The Kabbalist asked them, why? The soul said, I was a horrible man when I was in this physical world. I was a butcher, and I was negative and selfish, and all the time I relished in people's unhappiness. I never shared. I never gave. I laughed at people's chaos. I never studied about the Creator. I didn't believe in the Creator. I never wanted to improve myself. I hurt many people. I was married and divorced many times. And I always wished people bad. And he said, but now that I come to the upper worlds, where I don't have my body anymore, the limitations of my tikkun, I realized I missed all the opportunities of connecting with this beautiful light, the light of the Creator. Can you help me? The Kabbalist asks him a question. It says, do you have a son or a daughter? He said, I have one son. He says, where is your son? He says, my son is in the town that I lived in, and he's also a butcher. But my son is even worse than me. He's not open to anything you have to say. The Kabbalist says, let me try. So he goes to the son, and he starts talking to the son. And the son right away is like, get away, you spiritual nobody, you know, I'm not interested in what you're trying to sell me. The Kabbalist comes back day after day and just talks, looking for an opening, praying for him, giving him energy, coming from this way, coming from that way. The Kabbalist knew that because he heard the voice of his father being tortured, that he had a purpose here. Because when someone is in big, deep pain and they come into our lives, something needs to be done by us. There's a reason why the Creator sent them to us. So as time goes on, the Creator arranges it so that this negative child opens up, opens his heart. He starts to go through something in his life, and then he realizes that maybe he needs a little help. So the next day when the Kabbalist comes, again trying to break the stubbornness of this child, the child is open. He says, you know what? I'll sit with you for a moment. I'll listen to what you have to say. The words of the Kabbalist pierced his heart, opened him up, and he felt the light. He realized that the joy he really wants to feel in life is not going to happen through selfishness. It's going to happen through the opposite of everything he's lived for in his life. Every day, he started to study with this Kabbalist. In the beginning, 10 minutes every day. Then half hour. Then an hour. Then hours in a day. Then he starts dedicating himself to sharing and giving. Then he starts to have his own students. He starts teaching. Then as this child grows up more and more, he starts becoming a master, a spiritual leader in his own right. He has students, he has books, he has everything. Eventually in a dream, the father, who was being tortured, he comes to the dream of the Kabbalist many years later. He's wearing white. He's surrounded by joy, positive angels, forces, the most beautiful. He's like a king. He's like, all of a sudden, he's like crowned like a king in the upper world. And this man says to the Kabbalist, you know, I owe everything to you because the only chance I had was the spiritual work that my son did for me. He said, from the moment you opened his heart and he was willing to listen to you, they stopped torturing me in the mornings. And when he started to study with you 10 minutes a day, they stopped torturing me at night. And when he started to give back and share the wisdom, they actually took me out of hell and they put me into the upper worlds with all the positive forces and the positive souls and the angels. And then when he became a leader in his own right, revealing more and more light and having thousands of students and publishing books, they put me at the highest place in the academy in the upper worlds. All because the soul that was attached to him in the lower worlds did spiritual work for him in the upper worlds. All of us here have souls that are attached to us, living and past. And we don't know why we find ourselves in certain circumstances. Sometimes we go through 3, 4, 5 months, we do work and no results happen. It's because that light is going somewhere else. Sometimes we don't get results in our own life because the work we're doing is elevating someone else or something else somewhere else, living or past. Quantum theory is real. And the light we reveal is so powerful. Whether this is practical for you today or maybe down in the future, know that the greatest gift you can give to someone who's connected to your soul, who leaves this world, is your own spiritual work. I've met people that decide to be sad and depressed years after somebody dies. And when I'm asking them, why are you still sad? They say, because I don't want to let go of their memory. I don't want to hurt them. I said, from the moment they left, the only thing that could help them is your happiness. Your sadness hurts them. Imagine if the son of that evil man stayed sad every day. His father would still be tortured. The greatest gift we can do all the time is to choose the tree of life. All the time. There are times for sadness, but times for sadness are only, are you ready for this? This is a rule. You're only allowed to be sad when you're choosing to be sad for a spiritual reason. For mourning, to feel humility, because you want to feel the pain of something you did wrong. Only when you choose to feel the pain does it reveal light. When Satan brings the guilt, the shame on you, then it's reactive. How many times by a raise of hands, or does it ever happen to you that Satan makes you feel bad as opposed to you choosing to feel bad about something? Raise your hand. That's reactive. That's not the tree of life. When Satan, you're in the middle of having a nice dinner with someone you love, and all of a sudden you're being bombarded by negative thoughts of something you did wrong, something you're ashamed of, something you're beating yourself up about. Is that the time for it? Imagine right now I'm giving a lecture, and all of a sudden I start thinking about a mistake I made 4 days ago, and I start getting depressed. Is now the time for me to be depressed and to think about my problems? Sorry, guys, we're going to take a break right now. I'm going to go, I'm having an issue. Is this the time? How many times is someone opening up to you and you're looking at them like this? And all you're thinking about is something else that you were doing before that you need to fix. Does that ever happen? The fact that Satan is taking us elsewhere, that's the tree of death. I'm not connected. If at your own time privately you want to sit in the corner and reflect upon yourself and you choose that, that is the light. Who's in control? This is a lesson. Who's in control? There's a place for sadness. There's a place for looking within. There's a place for going through my issues. But you are not allowed to think of your garbage during the day when you are sharing. The day is for sharing. The day is to be present. Yeah, but I'm hurt. So what are you? Are you reactive or are you proactive? Are you a slave of Satan? Are you a slave? Are you the dog that's being walked all day long by Satan? Or do you have the strength to say, no, Satan, I know I made a mistake. I know I was reactive. I know I'm hurt. Let's talk about it tonight. After everyone's gone to bed, and I'm going to sit and I'm going to proactively choose what I need to do. But for now, I'm going to give, even though I feel horrible about myself, even though I have no energy, even though everything's gone down the toilet, I'm going to be like the light. That's the type of decision-making we need to make all the time. Do not let Satan choose for you how to feel, how to act, how to be. Even in relationships, don't fall in love. Do you understand? Fall in love is a reactive statement. It means something is controlling me. How do you love someone? How do you know you love someone? We've already spoken about this. How do you know you really care about someone? Do you remember? I gave you the analogy in this course. You know you love someone if they left and married your best friend and they were happy and you were happy for them. So is it safe to say most of us don't really love the person we're with? Well, if you really love them, do you really love them? So you're happy no matter what. You just want them to be happy, right? So this is the highest level. There are levels, there are degrees of love. Highest level is? Now, the best someone said they could do is if they died, they would be happy if, you know, their wife married their best friend. That was the best they could do. But living, that their ego couldn't handle it. The ego, the selfish part of us can't handle that. Right? Does that make sense? See how far we are? So, great. What I want you to do right now, share very quickly, just with the person next to you, most powerful thing you've learned so far tonight. Just with the person next to you, go for it. So we can do it real quick. So, let's go to the next section of our class. Let's learn the fascinating reality of what happens to the soul when it leaves this world. What is hell, now that we've brought it up? You know, there's a lot of religious stigma around heaven and hell. In Kabbalah, everything is about energy. It says that hell is actually the conscious state of what the soul feels when it leaves this world if it hasn't achieved its purpose. When the soul leaves the body, it goes through a phase. Sometimes that phase can take 12 months before the soul reincarnates. When a soul reincarnates, it's not like what we think. A soul leaves, it goes into another body, and that's the end of it. It's not that simple. Oftentimes, a soul breaks up into many other souls. So think about it. Alex is actually 1/8 of the soul he was last lifetime. Alex, in a past lifetime, broke up into 8 different Alexes. And now there are 8 Alexes all around the world. Some male, some female, because we all have male and female energies inside of us. Some of us have more male energy, some of us have more female energy. It's like a spectrum of different energies of souls inside of us. That spectrum also will decide our sexual preferences. Whether a person decides to be attracted to a man or a woman, it's actually not their choice spiritually. Spiritually, it's the vibration and frequency of the types of souls that are within them. Whether a person is gay or straight, or any sexual preference, it has nothing to do with what their spiritual purpose is. Their spiritual purpose is still in this world to do everything we've learned, which is transform their nature to be one with the light of the Creator. Souls break up, and that's why many times we have to interact with those souls. A lot of times you will meet the other half of your soul from a past life. So we have many soulmates, actually. We have many soulmates. Everybody we meet is probably a piece of our soul that we were connected to many lifetimes before that now we need to interact with for a tikkun purpose. Does that make sense? It's very fascinating. There's no one that you will ever meet and that you feel a connection with that is not in your life for a specific purpose. To help you grow, to help you learn. No such thing. When the soul leaves this world, what do you think it sees? What do you think a soul sees when it leaves this world? It sees what? It does see the white light. That's a whole other class of exactly what happens, but yes. What is it? Very good. I'll share it for the mic. It sees the truth. Your soul is shown every single test you've gone through in your life and how there are 2 options. One option to be proactive and so many rewards waiting for you. And the reactive path of all the chaos that happened as a result. Your soul actually shows you that the whole thing was a game. Your soul is shown that everything was a game. That when you thought everybody was against you and this person hurt you and you were so resentful and you held on to it for months and years and your whole life, you left with resentment. In fact, you actually see that that person was an angel sent by the Creator to help open your heart and to guide you to be the most successful, amazing, joyous human being. But you didn't want it. You chose, no, I'm going to push you away. I'm going to be resentful. And I'm never going to resolve my issues because that feels good. Your soul sees everything. Your soul sees how you were working on a project for years and finally you just gave up. And your soul sees how 10 minutes later, you were going to get the biggest customer of your life. Your soul sees all of it. Your soul sees every relationship, how you could have had this, but instead you chose that. Your soul sees how you stayed 2 months too late in one relationship, and so you missed an amazing opportunity to be with someone who could change your life. Your soul sees, maybe there's a, you know, even we talked about coming to class. Most of us are very inspired to come to class, to learn Kabbalah. But you know what? All of us, myself included. You know, sometimes I'm at home and I'm like, you know what? Oh, I got to go to class tonight. I wish I could just stay home, have dinner with my family, be so nice, watch a show. No, I got to go to class. I mean, of course, I love the class. But you know how sometimes when you're at home in your pajamas or whatever, and you're so comfortable and you're thinking, I got to schlep through the traffic and do this. I'll hear the recording. I can't hear the recording because I am the recording. But you can say, no, I'll hear the recording. But do you know why that day you feel the comfort of staying home? Because that's the class that's supposed to change your life completely. That's the class. That class. By the way, if you didn't come to any class but that class, it would have been enough. If you came to 1 out of 10 classes and you just made sure it was the one you did not want to come to, you would learn more wisdom for your soul, then if you came to 9 out of 10, you were excited, it was a sunny day, you had a, you know, you went to a restaurant nearby with a friend, it all so convenient, swing by, yeah. It's the class you don't want to come to. Why don't you want to come to it? Because Satan doesn't want you to come to it. Of course, you want to come to it. Satan knows that this is going to change your life. And your soul sees that. What do you think the soul feels when it sees everything? Shame. That's the bread of shame. The shame of, oh my God, so selfish, so weak, so insecure. I should have just listened. I should have just been, I could have had all that. And instead I chose this. I lived 30 years with this woman, with this man. For what? I lived in this career for what? I wasn't even happy for 50 years. Why? What? The pain, the shame of just choosing the reactive path. So you know what the soul does? What do you think the soul tells the creator? Please, 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 please send me back. Send me, I get it. I see it. Send me back now. And the soul begs to come back. And it goes into the womb. And it says an angel comes and touches us on the lips and makes us forget everything. Because if you remembered everything, what do you think would happen? No free will. If you remembered everything, easy. You pass every test. You know exactly which stocks to invest in the stock market. You know everyone. There's no game anymore. The game is you forgot. And when we come to study, you know what happens? We start, you're not learning anything. You're just awakening. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh. And then it goes away. Right? You feel, yes. It makes sense. I remember this. You have deja vu. Yes. That's what deja vu is. And then Satan comes. Nope. Goes back to 50-50. 50 light, 50 Satan. Free will. You can never see too much. You never will be allowed to have total clarity because you would lose your free will to choose the light. And hence the wheels of the soul. Souls keep coming back. Souls keep coming back. Let's go through the PowerPoint. Let's learn more about why souls leave. Souls leave when they finish their correction. We've learned finishing your correction can mean, must mean you both transform your negative and you fulfill your positive purpose. You have to give value to this world. You cannot just stay home and study Kabbalah. I know we all want to. Just stay home and read spiritual books. But you have to leave the house. You have to get a job. You have to talk to people. It is advised to have children. It is a positive thing to have children, to adopt children, to be responsible for children. And if you can't, if your reality doesn't allow for children, you should mentor someone. That's what the Zohar, the main books of Kabbalah say, that when you teach someone and you save their soul, like you help them connect with the light, they become your child. You become their spiritual father. So having a child means you gave birth to a new soul. Let's say you have a friend that is so reactive and so selfish. Technically, they're not alive. Because as long as a person is very selfish, he's not alive yet, right? Let's say you helped him find the light. And I don't mean teach him Kabbalah. That's actually how you can push away someone from the light. Give them love. Be the light around them. Inspire them. Elevate them. They become your child. All the light that they reveal comes back to you. That is part of how we need to be positive in this world. Sometimes people come for just one reason. One thing they need to change, one thing they need to do. Once they do it, they leave. But most people have many things they need to do. Also, a person can finish their correction and stay in this world. And they experience what we call heaven on earth. They feel and experience the light all the time. And then they're here to help all of us. This is the goal we should all strive for, to experience the light while we are in this world. Number two, Someone can come into this world just as a volunteer to help one or many other people. Often this is children who leave this world prematurely. They come to create a scenario. They know they're leaving at a young age. It's already predetermined. That soul volunteered to come. That soul is, quote unquote, putting on an experience for other people, to help people grow, to create pain, because pain is necessary for these people. Three, it's deemed that the soul is needed elsewhere. This happens many times during pregnancy. A soul is coming into the womb, and the soul is needed somewhere else. Hence, a woman might miscarry as a result. It's not a bad thing. It's just the wheels of the soul. The souls are all working together in the network in this world to bring light. Too much negativity accumulated by the soul. When it's deemed that we have too much reactive behavior, we chose death too much, a person needs to leave this world and they become cleansed. Pain is not enough. Another way of experiencing death while you're alive is to go through poverty. When a person has a lot and then they lose it, it means that there was a decree of death on them, but for some positive thing that they did, instead it was deemed they will lose everything. Lose everything can be money. Lose everything can be some relationship that was important to them. Raise your hand if you've ever felt that bottomless pit feeling of death in your own life. Right? We've probably all been there. That happened because that was a merciful way of not having to leave the world. Many negative people are here as a manifestation of the world's negativity. So a lot of times we see people in this world that are pure evil. Sometimes they're not even human beings. They are created as a pure manifestation of the world's reactive behavior accumulated into one person. Their job is to inflict a certain amount of pain, and once they've done so, they leave this world. Suicide. A person, and it's not something we should take lightly, but oftentimes a person feels so much pain, helplessness, and despair that it seems like that's their only option. But we have to know there's always another option that the Creator has for us. The Creator never creates a scenario that doesn't have the light. And not only is there the light, but there's tremendous amounts of pleasure and fulfillment waiting for this person if they pull on that string of the light and they follow it. A person has these thoughts, most likely, because in a past life, they also had those thoughts at the same time, from the same circumstance, and they chose to leave this world. The problem with suicide is the soul gets lost. It gets stuck in limbo. It's very painful for the soul. The soul only realizes it after it leaves this world because it sees the truth. The reincarnation process, it slows down a little bit, and what needs to happen is the people who are left behind, who are close to that soul, need to help that soul elevate. You need to help that soul elevate through your own spiritual work, through prayers, through meditations. If it's something that applies to you, you can talk to your mentors. They will have more tools for you to achieve the help of this elevation. It almost makes no sense to do so. It's not good to say it like that. From the soul's point of view, all that will happen when a person chooses to leave this world is they have to come back in the same scenario. In another class, I had one girl raise her hand and said, the reason I chose not to commit suicide is because of something you said, that I just have to come back and face the same thing again. So I decided, what's the point? Because in her mind, Satana told her, leave, it's going to be better, new movie, new this, new that. No, there's no new anything. You come back the same time, same way, same scenario, same pain, same decision to make. Just from a selfish point of view, why to do it? And that's what helped her change her mind. So I'm sharing this from many different angles and points of view, just in case there's somebody who's hearing this right now, who's even having that thought. Know two things. Number one, The light not only is there, but you can get to a place where you're higher than you ever imagined. Number one, and it's there. You just got to pull on the string. You're not allowed to see it because you need to see total darkness so you can choose light. Because if you saw the light, then what's the point? You see the light. There's no choice to make anymore. You need to not see the light, but believe with certainty there is light and start pulling on the string. And number two, if that's not going to inspire a person, then what they should know is they're just delaying their process. And they'll have to come back and face the whole thing again. And number three, if you are someone who is close to someone who's gone through that already, you can help elevate their soul, thinking about them, meditating on them. Every time you do a spiritual action, you think of them. Every time you take a bite from an apple and you enjoy the light of the apple, you meditate on them. Always meditate on them. Light a candle for them. Study. When you study Kabbalah or study spiritual wisdom, study and meditate that you elevate their soul because of that. Any questions so far? One second. Just one. There. There's the.
Hi, I'm Storm. I'm not going to cry today.
No, you're not going to cry.
I'm not going to cry. Your story about this girl that you were talking about is really amazing for me because it gives me such hope. And I mean, I'm not in that place anymore. I haven't had an episode in 4 years and I've been off medication 2 years in April. So, I mean, I'm doing good. But we talk about the death of other things, relationship going away, businesses going away. Like, am I paying like a price for having been that? Because those negativities weren't my choice. Like, I wasn't thinking, oh, my life's so crap.
I don't want to go there yet. But I do want to hit on something you said. A person should know, and this is practical for all of us, any negative situation you're in, if you stop and you listen very carefully, you will get that sign. You will get that godmother, that book on the shelf. You have to listen. The problem is we have so much noise in our head. When you're in that hopeless, sad place, just take a moment and look for the string. Look for the sign. The Creator is showing it right in front of you. There's always a message. The Creator does not shut the door. We've heard this. It sounds cliche, but I want you to believe it. You need to look for it. It's right there. That's the message that I feel like you needed to share right now for everyone. There's always an angel holding the solution right there. Always, in every situation. And sometimes I even get in situations that I'm like, how is this going to get out? And then I have to remind myself, wait a minute, there's always a solution. And as soon as I remember that, the solution is created. The solution isn't created. The solution is already there. I'm allowed to see it. You're allowed to see the solution as soon as you believe there is one. If you don't believe there's a solution, you're not allowed to see the solution. As soon as you believe and you have certainty there is one, you are shown what it is. You are shown what it is. All right, let's continue. Yes, another.
The question is, so what happens if somebody come and shoot 20 people and those people leave? What's the reason behind it? That not individual, that person's sick and he's create that.
Okay. So let's say a person is caught up in a mass shooting. Technically, there are two answers to this. Number one, a person can only leave the world if it's time for their soul to leave the world. So it's safe to say that if that crazy person wasn't there, that those 20 people still needed to leave the world for their own soul's reasons. Not a bad thing. Their own soul had already a process they needed to go through. So why did all 20 of them leave in that way by that guy? That's a different story. But if that guy all of a sudden got hit by a bus before he got to those 20 people, the 20 people still would have to leave the world in a different way. It's a hard answer, but it's the answer of cause and effect. There's no randomness. Now, the question is, why did that guy have to pull the trigger? He had free will. He could have chosen not to pull the trigger. And maybe the light he would have revealed by not pulling the trigger would have actually saved more souls and brought more light to the world. That's true. But certain souls need to leave this world, and I'm going to explain why now for more different reasons. But it just so happens that the universe arranged those 20 people to be there at that one moment because it was their time to leave. Very hard. It's not going to be an explanation that's going to make anyone not feel the pain of what they're going through. So that's why I hesitate to even answer it, because the answer is just for our intellectual brain. But the heart will never be healed by an answer like that. So the other reason why is sometimes innocent people can get caught in negativity. And that means because we have to be careful what environment we choose, which is the next thing we're about to choose. About to talk about. I'm going to skip the first part. Let's go to number 6. Sometimes souls have to leave this world because it's deemed that their environment is very toxic or that they need to go to a better environment. This happens mainly of souls under the age of 20. Under the age of 20 is oftentimes, if people leave this world, it's because their environment is not good for them. But it also can be that if we choose to be in a negative environment, we can get caught up in negativity. And that's our choice. We have to be very careful who we decide to be friends with, who we decide to have intimate relationships with, who we decide to associate with, who we decide to depend on, who we decide to hang out with. We have to be very careful because other people's negativity can influence us. Let's go back. I'm going to finish this really quickly for us. Actually, you know what? I'm not going to do it. It requires more. There's a lot of good content, a lot of amazing concepts, and I want to really give you all the stories behind it and make it really practical. So, before we leave, I want to do another meditation, okay? So let's close our eyes. Life is about making decisions. Once you make a decision, the universe follows your decision. What kind of a decision are you making right now as you leave this class? Whatever decision you make, all the angels, forces in this world, all the people, everyone will come and support you in making this decision. What's the highest decision you can make? The greatest decision you can make is your commitment to choose the tree of life. Always be giving. Always be giving. ABG, always be giving. If you tomorrow, take it one day at a time, if you tomorrow can commit yourself to always be giving, even if you need to take a break, you do so with the intention of having strength to give. Even if you want to be sad for an hour, you do so with the intention of recharging yourself to give. If you're not in the mood, you're upset, frustrated, you're going to learn the Kabbalistic concepts we've learned so far. You're going to try to take responsibility. You're going to forgive the other person. If you don't know how, you're going to ask the Creator for help. You're going to make effort. Just make the effort to be the light. The light will take care of the rest. You don't have to get the job done. You just have to make maximum effort. I learned this halfway through my Kabbalah journey, when a teacher finally told me, don't you know that it's written? All you got to do is make max effort. You don't actually have to finish the job. But in your heart, do you believe you're making max effort? Are you doing everything that you know how to do, that you have the power to do? Tonight we've learned it's about choosing the tree of life. When we choose to be selfish, we're choosing death, and a part of our soul is taken away from us. When we speak evil speech, when we have pride, control, anger, jealousy, evil eye, when we separate ourselves from people, all we're doing is we're choosing death, and we lose a part of our soul. Let's choose life. We also have many souls in this world who depend on us. Some of us in this room have millions of souls that depend on us. Their happiness tomorrow will depend on what you're thinking tomorrow. Take upon yourself the responsibility that you in this room can completely change the world if you change yourself and become like the light. Final thing I'll tell you. Kabbalists say if just one human being reveals all the light of their soul, that one human being can bring peace in the world. That you have a nuclear reactor of light inside of you, that if you unleashed it, you could remove terrorism, pollution, poverty, hurricanes, earthquakes from the world. If you, just you, overcame all your tikkun, it's very exciting. Forget about just the miracles you will have personally. You have the power. And we have the support of all the souls who have left us. They see the truth. They know what's going on. Next week, we'll learn more about those souls and how they can come back to help us as guardian angels and forces that support us in this spiritual work. All right, guys, that's it for tonight. Thank you very much.